Man, you guys can have a seat. Hey, give these guys some love one more time, will you? Appreciate you very much. So if you're new with us for the first time, welcome. It's great to have you here. You're here on a bit of a unique day. This is what we call Vision Sunday. We have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians, a book in the New Testament, going verse by verse through, but we're stepping out of that study to bring you a little tidbit of where we're headed in the future, where God is leading us into the future. And I think probably maybe the best way to begin is for those of you who are newer, just to let you know a little bit about our past. And you know, the church started in November of 2015 in my living room. There's a little picture of that space right here, my lovely, beautiful wife, Jill. And this was in November of 2015. And we did not know exactly what God had in store for us. We didn't know exactly what his plan was, what it looked like, but we did know this. We understand clearly what we are called to do and what we are called to be, because that message comes to us from Jesus himself. And so from the very beginning, our mission has always been this: to know Jesus and to make him known. In other words, for us at Illuminate, it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, I think pretty much every church should have some variation of this as its mission, because again, Jesus gave it to us himself. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 19, he says this: "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So clearly, this is not only a call to reach all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this is also a call to a lifestyle. It's a call to a lifestyle. This is all about being a disciple maker. How do we become disciple makers? The key to becoming a disciple maker is living in God's presence, moment by moment, day by day. Living in God's presence, as if he was always with you in every circumstance. There are only two people in the Bible that have never tasted death: Elijah and Enoch. And Enoch's story is found in Genesis chapter 5. And here's what we read about him. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. That's a really curious verse. I need more details. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, we get a few more. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. I think it was Dallas Willard, who first put this in a context that I had never heard before, but it was like, it just completely changed my thinking and my perspective. He was making the connection that disciple makers are people who live in the presence of God, kind of like Enoch did. And he said, this is what life was like for Enoch. One moment, he's talking with God while in his tent. And the next moment, he's talking with God in the presence of God. So it was the most natural thing. One moment he's on earth having a conversation with God, and then he's ushered into the presence of God. And this is the most natural thing. It was as if every moment of his life he had just been in conversation with God. And so whether it was in his tent or at the throne of God, it was kind of like, oh, wow, change of location. But anyways, God, as I was saying, I heard that and I was like, wow. You know, I tell my kids, you know what my job is in your life? To prepare you to meet Jesus face to face. And that begins now. In conversation with God, living moment by moment in his presence. This is what it means to be a disciple maker. People think the voice of God is mysterious. It's like super spiritual. You know, you read the Old and New Testaments, and God, the voice of God, you hear him speaking to everyday, ordinary followers, men and women who believe in him. Animals hear the voice of God. Children hear the voice of God. God leading us in disciple-making ways, taking the gospel forward. And this is how we fulfill our mission of knowing Jesus and making him known. But we get a little bit more strategic and tactical than that. And one of the great joys of sort of revamping this space is that we get to plaster some really important phrases on our walls. These are our core values. These are the things that drive us. They keep us in our lane. This is the race that God has called us to run. We have a simple acronym, GRACE. The G stands for generous living. Look, we want to be known as a community of Christ followers that moves people. People look at us and they would be moved by the way we live our lives. You say, well, what does that look like? Acts chapter 2, the early church. Imagine this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They came together and they wanted to understand what God had to say to them. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and a sense of awe just came over everyone. And apostles performed many signs, wonders. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Prove it. Read the next statement. Selling their possessions and goods. They shared with anyone who was in need. Can you imagine? There was this irresistible magnetism that these early believers had when they came together and they shared what they had, giving up what so many today want to possess. They understood the paradox of Jesus saying, you want to find your life? Lose it. Give it away. Live for something bigger than yourself. And this early community of Christ followers, people were just drawn to it through the generosity of their lives. And it's not just a financial thing. This is with our time, our treasure, and our talents. The R stands for redeemed lives. We are absolutely convinced. Can I get a witness that God changes lives? He transforms people. And how does he do it? Three things. His spirit, his people, you, and his word. That's why we will always be committed to rightly handling the word of God. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We help people understand the wisdom of the wisdom of God. We apply the scriptures. We put ourselves in positions of authority under the scriptures. They are theonoustos, which means God breathed. And hold everything we need pertaining to life and faith. The A stands for adoration of God. We adore God through our worship. Part of that is through the lifting up of our voices and praise and song. But you know, in Romans chapter 12, Paul puts a different spin on it. He shows you a different facet of worship. It's very important because the word worship literally means to ascribe worth to something. And so he says it like this: present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is an acceptable form of worship to God. This is a crazy word picture, right? If you're a reader in the first century, you're going, did I read that right? Present your body as a living sacrifice? Here's the imagery. And people were very, very familiar with altars because it was on that altar that you sacrifice. That animal's blood was shed. And so Paul says, well, Jesus' blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. He did his part in securing your salvation. Now, let's talk about all of those fleshly desires that are within you. Let's talk about all that junk that just needs to be uprooted. It needs to be slaughtered. Stick a knife in it. Rip it open. Lay it open. So every morning you wake up and you crawl on that altar and you say, God, I'm giving to you the death of my selfish desires. God, I'm stabbing all of my fleshly will. You know what that is? That is ascribing worth to God. That is an acceptable form of worship. So we adore God with our worship. The C stands for community together. The Bible calls us to pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, love one another. How about this? Confess your sins to one another. We don't do that very well. Why? Because we're afraid of being vulnerable. That's a trust issue. But if the people of God can't be trusted, who can you trust? You know, therapy is at an all-time high, right? The need for therapy. I mean, the world is a fragmented place. Therapy is at an all-time high. The scripture has been speaking to this. Confess your sins to one another. How does this happen? It happens in the context of Christians coming together, just like they did in Acts 2, and just saying, we have all things in common, our joys and our struggles. I face the same struggles you face. Can we talk? Can I just share with you? Can you pray for me? Can you help me? I want to help you. We enter into that space where we understand the blessings of what it means to live in community together. Steve Johnson, our pastor of discipleship, is going to be up here in a couple minutes to talk about how serious we take this. Heading into the fall, we have a very specific initiative to help accomplish this. The E stands for engaged in culture, and this might be something that's a little bit unique to illuminate. I'm often asked what this means. In a nutshell, our faith is not just private. It is a public faith. Your faith is not just private. It is a public faith. It was meant to influence those who are not yet here. Example, Daniel and his friends in Babylon. You know that according to Daniel chapter 5, this is going to blow some of your minds. In Daniel chapter 5, we're told that Daniel, who believed in God, the God of the Old Testament, he was the chief, which means he was the boss. He was in charge of the divinators, the astrologers, the magicians, very secular group of people. They didn't follow Daniel's God. They didn't worship Daniel's God. And yet, Daniel lived his life in such a way that God elevated him and put him in charge of those guys. And instead of being brainwashed himself and going with the current of the culture, Daniel had an influence upon them. There's a massive migration happening all over the world. People are moving into the cities. Big cities are actually getting bigger. See, we want to be influencers. We want to engage the culture. We want to be the kind of people that are able to step into these spheres of influence in such a way that the gospel is embraced. We want nothing to impair the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's possible to step into those places and be used by God to be people of influence. And so for us, it's a core value. So each one of these values points toward discipleship, helps us accomplish our mission. We have a simple tactical, strategical side of things of what we employ. You see it on the walls over there in the kitchen, belong, grow, and go. There's not a person alive that doesn't want to belong. There's a deep sense of belonging. I think God created us with that. People fill that in all the wrong ways, but we were meant to be together in Christian community. So when people come through here, here's what we want. We want them to feel the warmth of the body of Christ, but it doesn't stop there. We want them to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So if a person comes to me after a sermon and they say, Pastor, I am so inspired, I politely say, hey, I appreciate that. But that's not why you're here. If you're here just to become inspired, you can watch YouTube videos and get inspired. You don't come here for inspiration. You come here for application. It is to apply the wisdom of God's word. That's what brings about change. So we want people to grow in their faith, and then ultimately we want them to go. Just as Jesus said, go make disciples. Go serve. Go give your life away. So I mentioned earlier that we're very serious about achieving this, so serious that we have a church-wide initiative that's going to begin in a few weeks. And I'm going to bring Pastor Steve Johnson up to the stage, again, our pastor of discipleship, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about this program that we've got that's called Rooted.
Right here, dude.
You got it, man.
All right. Good morning. We take community so seriously that the Board of Elders unanimously determined just several weeks ago that we will become a church of small groups, not a church with small groups. That means it isn't enough to come to church. It isn't enough to listen to the sermons. It isn't enough to attend a Friday morning Bible study unless that Bible study happens to be a small group. We honestly believe that community groups, small groups, are the only place, the main place, where spiritual growth and discipleship takes place. And we want to make it difficult for all of you not to be involved. Or say it another way, we wanted to make it easy for all of you to be involved. We believe that growth takes place best in a small group. And there's several biblical and theological reasons for that. Number one, let's face it, you look at Genesis 1 and 2 and you discover we were created for community. It wasn't good enough for Adam to be alone. God created Eve, and hence community. We were redeemed to live in community. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that because of what Jesus Christ has done, in a world that was broken and fractured by sin, we've created all sorts of issues that we don't know how to deal with properly: racism, social dysfunction, gender and class distinctions. And Jesus and the scriptures say, Paul says in Ephesians 2, that God has brought all of those people together into one community that he's using through his Holy Spirit to build up to be a dwelling place for his Spirit. And that community is called the church. And so a major part of God's work is to restore broken relationships and to begin to heal those situations. And in this community, it's interesting, Paul calls us fellow citizens of his kingdom. Together, the people sitting around you, take a look at them for just a second. Look at the person sitting next to you. That's a fellow citizen in the kingdom of God. That's a fellow member of the household of God. That is a brother or sister. A relationship which goes as deep, and I would say because of the spiritual bond, is even deeper than the relationship of blood. The scriptures command us to love one another. It's the greatest commandment, the first and the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Without community, the only person you can love is yourself. And that's not biblical love. So it's important to have community so we can follow that commandment. Jason mentioned the fact that there's one another's in the scripture. There's over 52 in the New Testament alone. Love one another, bear one another's burden, confess your sins to one another. There's no way we can carry out those one another's on Sunday morning. It can only happen in a community where we are known and we are knowing and being known. He put up Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Make disciples. You can't make disciples without community. Now, I understand that being and becoming like Christ is deeply personal, but it's not private at the end of the day. It doesn't happen in a Jesus and you context alone. Instead, the best possible place for your spiritual growth is in a small, regular, committed group of believers pursuing the same goal, being like Jesus. It's what he did. Sure, he traveled with a group of 120, but he had 12, his small group of 12. And he had a more intimate group of 3 that he worked with. And I can honestly say that as I stand before you this morning after almost 4 decades of ministry and 3 decades of leading small groups and overseeing them in various contexts, I'm more convinced than ever that if you're here on Sunday morning, the next thing you should be doing throughout the week to grow to be like Jesus Christ is to be involved in a small group. Discipleship is the unifying goal for the church as the expression of giving God glory. And community is not optional when it comes to your growing to be like Jesus. So the question is, where do we start? And that's where Rooted comes in. Some of you probably read, or most of you have read, the bulletin announcements. Rooted is our way of getting everybody together to understand the importance and begin to practice the importance of community at Illuminate Community Church. Hey, it's in our name. Rooted will be a 10-week small group discipleship journey where you will practice 7 key spiritual, what we call rhythms, or practices that will help you to be more like Jesus Christ. It's 10 weeks. It's a commitment of 10 weeks, once a week for 10 weeks. We would love to have every single adult in the congregation involved for these 10 weeks. It starts September 15th and goes through November 17th. I'll tell you about that in a minute. It's not a Bible study, even though you'll spend a lot of time during the week in your Bible looking at Scripture. It's not a Sunday school class or a seminar. Rooted is a community of people who will gather together to learn from God's Word, but at the same time, to care for one another, to listen to one another, and support one another on your spiritual journey. Who doesn't want that? I believe that Rooted, after looking at it very carefully, can be a catalyst for life change in this church and in your life. As you think about the thought-provoking, honest, transparent conversations that you're going to have in a small group, safe space, I think you'd be surprised about what's going to happen in your life. During the 10 weeks of Rooted, we'll pray together, we'll serve together, we'll share our stories. Again, it launches September 15th, Sunday, and it goes through November 17th. And I'd like every single one of you to sign up. You can register for it through the app or online at www.illuminatecommunity.com/rooted. You can do it right after service today. You'll have an option to choose what kind of group you want to be in. We'll have options as to nights and days and locations. So there really isn't any excuse for any of us not to express one of our key core values, which is community. It's going to cost, though, because you got to commit to 10 weeks and you got to pay us $15. What's the $15 for? The $15 is for a beautiful hardbound journal that everybody will get to take you through those 10 weeks, and to pay for the launch dinner and the celebration dinner that we'll have on November 17th. For those of you that have kids and you're asking yourself the questions, what do? I'm already too busy. Tuesday nights, we'll have Rooted groups here on campus. And grab this, the elders are so committed to you being involved that we are covering the child care for all of your children. That's pretty cool, I think. So Tuesday nights here on campus, we'll have child care. Again, the registration opens right after church, or right after you get out of church this morning. You probably can even do it now, but don't do it because Jason's got a few more things to say. Bottom line, we believe that you cannot flourish in isolation. You can't become the man or woman of God that God wants you to be by yourself. We need each other to experience the life that Christ has meant us to live together. Isn't it time, maybe, for you, those of you that haven't been involved, isn't it time to maybe for you to let go and courageously step out to follow his call more closely? I hope you will. God bless you.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, man. So just I want to give you a couple of real quick updates, and then I want to introduce you to a really special friend. On our vision night on December 4th, you heard us talk about our need for more space. Our student ministries was growing, children's ministry was growing, congregation was growing, and Pastor Chris reminded me that it was 2 years ago, I think this weekend, that we added our second service. So we say all the time, only God, and we're super thankful for what God is doing. We needed more space, and we told you then that more space opened up. We went ahead and we entered into a lease agreement. So we've got that space now for almost 5 years. Can we throw that slide up there so I can walk you through real quick what it looks like? Now the gym becomes ours 24/7. We have designated spot for student ministries now. And if you want to make your way back there after the service, you can see the remodel that's going on. It should be done in a couple of weeks. And then we have offices as well, picked up another kitchen. Oh, and we have access to the bathrooms 24/7. Very happy about that. That was part of what we presented on Vision Night. We told you that our goal was to raise $750,000 to cover remodel costs. You know, phase one was here. We're pretty much done with that. And that's phase two, the children's classrooms, pretty much done with that. This is phase three. And so you guys were super, super generous. Thank you again. And you gave about $500,000 to that. Some of that also offset the cost of the increase that we're going to have picking up this new space in our lease payment. And we're still about $250,000 short. So if God lays it on your heart to give to that, reach out and contact our treasurer, Earl DeFreitas, and he can talk to you more about that as well. Also want to let you know that God continues to move in our midst in some remarkable ways, going before us and orchestrating things that we just can't take credit for. The way God moves behind the scenes has just been a huge blessing for me personally to see. You know that we were looking for a student ministries pastor. During this time, it was an opportunity for me, and I think this is one of the responsibilities I have as lead pastor, is to take a step back and consider all that God is doing in our midst. And what God had been doing is creating a wave, a really unique wave. We had several sharp young guys ask us if they could be trained for pastoral ministry. So this is our church, and we want to do pastoral ministry. Can we be trained here? Now, this is something we've always wanted to do. It's been in our vision statement. We want to be used by God to create redeeming communities of Christ followers. That's our community-driven emphasis. Now, watch this. And for future generations. We're always thinking about those who are coming after us. And so we've always wanted to be the kind of church that invested in the next generation. We're not producing solid Bible teachers in this country. We need more men and women that can handle accurately the Word of God. So there was this wave that God was creating. And so I took a step back and I thought, you know, maybe the time is for us to bring on board a family pastor, someone that would be involved overseeing birth through high school. We have an all-star lineup in our children's ministry. These are the finest, most qualified leaders in children's ministry that I have ever been around. We're super thankful for them. What we have lacked has been direct pastoral guidance. A family pastor would provide that. Additionally, we need someone to be directly involved in our youth ministry. It's growing. There are decisions there to be made. We need someone with some wisdom. I'm super happy to announce that beginning August 26th, Todd Robertson will be joining us. I think he's got a beautiful family. I mean, gosh, look at him. Good-looking dude. So he's going to be here August 26th, and he will provide direct oversight to our youth ministry. He'll be working alongside our children's ministry, giving vision. But additionally, he's the guy to help us train these young guys, and you're going to get introduced to some of them in the not-too-distant future, to train them to do pastoral ministry. So we're super thankful for that. And then, personally, I'm very grateful, and I'm very happy to announce that we have also landed on an executive pastor. His name is Dana Erickson. I think he's actually in this service somewhere. He's a humble guy. There he is, right there is Dana. He just raised his hand. Please show your love for Dana. And his wife, Denise. So I'm going to try not to idolize him, but he's going to make my life so much easier. As things grow, they become a little more complicated, guys. They just do. My best gift to the church is to stay in my lane, and that is to teach and to preach and to cast vision. And Dana is going to come and he's going to oversee the staff. He's going to oversee the operations. And I just think that he's a special gift to us. Let me just give you a quote from someone that knows him really well. He said, Dana is a very unique individual. He's a master strategist and equipped to manage growth and change in the church, all with a pastor's heart. He is a true gift. He comes with a very deep bag, and he's going to be an incredible blessing to this congregation. Have I set the bar high enough for you? Time and time again, we say only God, only God. But I want to stop now, and I want us to be reminded in a very vivid way what it's all about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about transformed lives. And so I want to introduce you to my friend Adam. Adam, come on up here, my man. Adam is with Teen Challenge. He's been a part of our congregation now for a few months, and just getting to know this guy and love him. By the way, the guys at Teen Challenge have really pitched in. They've done a lot of job next door, a lot of work next door, ripping walls out, painting, and they're a great group of guys. So I've asked Adam to come and share a little bit about his story, and maybe let's start with what led you to your search for God.
Well, obviously, I found God on a freeway, and I'll get to that point here in a second. But this is where I really get, this is where I committed my life to God here in November 2018. Growing up as a child, it was rather different. My father was an alcoholic for 30 years, and with alcoholism, his alcoholism came from drinking to physically abusing. Physically abusing eventually came down to where my father did molest me for a matter of a couple years. And so that was the point where I started learning on how to bottle my emotions and how to start really put masks on letting and not anyone know how I was feeling or what was going on in my life, because I figured I can handle it on my own. Years go by, and you would never think that this is what, I would have never thought this would have happened because I looked up to my older brother, but seeing my brother was influenced by my father, I was also sexually assaulted by my brother as well. So it was a matter of 6 years of my life as a child where I was just continuously being abused, and I didn't know where to go and how to really seek help. I just figured eventually it would just go ahead and go away. But after a while, I started being tired of being picked on, and being picked on in school too. So around 11, that's when I started being rebellious. I started stealing. I started drinking at the age of 11. And from 11 to 13, that's when I was introduced to crystal meth, and I was using for a matter of 5 years. And I really thought that was a solution for me to go ahead and numb everything, pretty much go away. That's the only solution for me that would medicate my feelings and everything else that I was feeling inside. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel until recently of November, being in a really bad really what I thought was a good relationship, thinking that this was going to be where this person was going to help me. Obviously it didn't work out that way, losing the relationship, which thankfully I'm glad I lost that now, losing the place. Lost a relationship with my daughter. I had a good relationship with my daughter when a couple years back, and then obviously just going back and forth. I tried every single program that you can think of, AA, CMA. Think of all the A's. That's what I've tried. Never worked. So I knew I needed more. I'm a person that wants to go for more, but I thought about going to church and decided to pump the brakes on that and try to find another way. And when everything started crumbling down in November, that's when I came across this guy at a bus stop, and one of those Jehovah Witness guys that tells you, gives you the scriptures and whatnot. And he said, you know, God has a plan for you. Just don't give up. And so this is when I really didn't know where to go. I really didn't know what to do with my life. And I was to the point where I was wanting to commit suicide in November. And so with that being said, I tried to figure ultimate ways on how I could get rid of everything of what I've done in my past and what people have done to me. I try to run away from everything. But obviously it doesn't work out, because eventually your past is going to catch up to you. So with that being said, I went on the freeway, and I was doing everything I can, running in front of vehicles on the freeway, and people were calling in saying, hey, there's this crazy dude running on the freeway. And soon enough, I clearly remember the exact same words that I said. I said, God, if you can even hear me right now, just show me something. I don't care what it is, just show me. So obviously, you know, people calling in, what's going on? There's a DPS officer that met me at the overpass because I was wanting to jump. And so eventually he talked to me, and from hearing the guy at the bus stop to me talking to God, this DPS officer convinces me to, you know, come talk to him. He himself, you would never hear this from a police officer, but he himself said, you know what, God has a plan for you. Just don't give up. And so, taking me to the hospital for overnight, I was able to leave that next day on Thanksgiving. And there's this brother that I was working with for several months, And he has exactly everything that I wanted. I wanted everything of what he had, and I just didn't know where to start. I kind of knew, but I just didn't want God. I didn't want anything to do with God, and that was the way how I thought of it at that time. But just seeing how happy he was, and I wanted that. So when he came in and picked me up here, that's when I met Pastor Jason. And Pastor Jason gives me a hug. I'm like, who is this guy? He's just giving me a hug. I don't even know you, dude. Like, go away. And then next thing you know, then it becomes Pastor Scott. I'm like, dude, why are these people hugging me? And then obviously I was just fighting. I was fighting the love that not only God has for me, but I was also fighting the love that and the care that this church and also everyone else that has for me. I was running away from it. I didn't want anything to do with it. So that's where I gave my life to the Lord. That's where I did the communion. And next thing you know, hey, let's go to Teen Challenge. No way, dude. I am not going. So I went. It's the same thing. Guys welcome me, hugging me. Dude, stop hugging me, man. Like, go away. But I've never encountered God the way how I've encountered God for the last 9 months, and I can proudly say for the last 9 months, that's how long I've been clean, all because of God's, and all of it goes to God. Building all this resentment and anger that I've had towards my brother and my father, that's working right, and God's working on that right now. But my father can proudly call me, and he can proudly say it, and I can feel it when I talk to him. With 30 years of alcoholism, he can probably look at me saying, I have 90 days of sobriety. And that was one thing that I was praying for to God, is at least help my father despite of what's happened. Mm-hmm. My father can at least, I'm getting my father back. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my brother back. Mm-hmm. I'm getting all my families back. Mm-hmm. I'm getting everything back that I thought that I would have never gotten. It's because I have to keep faith. It's just like what it says in 2 Timothy. I have fought the fight. I have won the battle, and I have kept the faith. And that's one thing I have to keep telling myself, just keep fighting the fight, because the enemy one day is just going to keep coming at me. So I just want to thank Pastor Jason, Illuminate, every one of you. Thank you again for your support. It really means a lot to me, more than you ever know. And I'm forever grateful. And it will never be enough of how much I can pay back. Mike, thank you so much. I love you so much. You've been a brother for me since day one. I love you so much. Thank you.
Hey, give me a hug. Thank you. Love you, Mike. I told him that's two standing ovations in a row. Man. So I want to end our time by having you reach into the seat back in front of you and pull out there's a little 3x5 card. Should be a 3x5 card there. And this is the application part. This is for you to take. Write down the names of 2 or 3 people who do not yet know Jesus Christ, and you're going to begin to pray for them. And as you leave, there's a board outside in the lot. It says, My Mission. This is our mission together. Write their names on that card, take a little piece of tape, stick it on there. We're going to take that board and we're going to be praying for those names, because we exist for those who are not yet here. Father, we just celebrate the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of a transformed life. Father, we're grateful that we get to be a part of something that is supernatural, that we get to live for something bigger than ourselves, the honor and the dignity that you bestow upon us. Father, as we leave this place, may we never forget that it's all about Jesus. It's in his name that we pray, and God's people said, Amen.